It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, yes, we are back. Muhammad is away. He will be back soon. But in the meantime, in between time, it is you and I kicking it. How y'all doing? Oh, okay. Interesting. That's what's up. Yeah, nah. We should talk about that. It was a long week. It was a lot going on this past week. We had the Knicks parade. Yeah, Juneteenth, Father's Day, Saturday. We had a lot going on. It was a whole lot. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. Happy Juneteenth to the free. You know, the secondary free, the blacks.
Y'all been free. Yeah, y'all free. Go celebrate. Yeah, shout out to us. Shout out to the people.
Juneteenth's starting to feel more like a holiday a little bit to me now. Like, you know, I felt like for a while it was just a gesture, you know. I think it happened right around the time of all of the uprising, you know, during the pandemic and everything like that. And part of it kind of just felt, you know, just like I said, like some type of gesture. Like, yeah, yo, take that. Hold that. You know what I mean? And it's not reparations or nothing, but y'all get the day off. We'll acknowledge that y'all should have got that information a little earlier. But, you know, motherfuckers ain't really want to. They wasn't in no rush to be, you know, letting the free labor know that they ain't had to show up to work. But, yeah, go ahead. Had a day off, man. Go outside. Enjoy yourself. But this Juneteenth, and I don't know, maybe because it was on a Friday. I think maybe last year, was it on a Saturday or a Thursday? Either way, I think it was going to be on a Thursday next year. It's still going to be felt. It's going to be a summer Friday, that Thursday. But this one, it just felt like the energy in the air, like being out. And maybe it was because, particularly here in New York City, everything going on right after the parade, World Cup is going on. It was nice weather, the whole vibe. So it just, it was like, oh shit, this is something. I ain't really do anything too particular. I went grocery shopping, honestly. But for the beginning of the day, I was like, I should do something real black for Juneteenth. I should do something. I was like, you know what? I'm black already, man. I do black shit every day. I'm going to just be. That's what it's going to be. Obviously, I told you, I don't like to work for nobody on Juneteenth unless the quote is crazy. And I took the day off, took a nice little walk, walked around, went grocery shopping, came back, ate pretty good. That was my Juneteenth. It was cool. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I did not go to the Knicks parade. I had a 70% desire to go. Just for the fact of like, yo, I got to show up. It's 53 years. This is going to be a moment. This is history. I want to be able to say I was there, all of that shit. Man, I said this last week, but when it started talking about, yo, you should get there by dawn. And then I heard some people talking about, yo, get there midnight before and camp out and all of this other shit, man. I was like, that's not for me in the least. At all. I had shows the night before. I was a little tired. And I'm going to tell you something. I have zero FOMO from missing that parade. Zero. My sister went. She was in the front row, right on the barricade, front row of the parade. That shit was amazing. She had to leave at good 4:30 in the morning, and she had connections, but still, you know. I watched that shit right there in the comfort of my own home on the couch via the mayor's YouTube stream, and it was good enough for me. It actually got a little claustrophobic on my couch. I had to turn the AC on. It was just a lot, and I was like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't go out there. Because one, just standing around, you know, you got to squat and wait, you know, squat in your little spot that you got, and you got to wait until the parade start. The parade started kind of late, all of this other shit. Man, yeah, you can't go get nothing to eat, nothing to drink. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of held hostage. I'm cool. I like the Knicks, but not to that degree. You know, I'm a casual fan. I've said this before. I'm a casual fan. One thing I noticed, it's probably one of the first things I noticed before I talk about all of the peripheral shit or the ancillary shenanigans. Those floats, those Knicks floats look janky than a motherfucker. Them shits look like some bullshit ass floats. I've seen better floats at a lot of, I don't even know. Them shits look like, they look terrible. They had 53 years. They must have really felt like the Knicks was never going to win, because what kind of, these shits was terrible looking. These shits was some terrible looking floats. I was like, yo, what? These shits look good. But it was cool. You know, it was in the Canyon of Heroes. Very congestion and small down there. A little, you know, a little tight situation. Quick ass parade, you know. It was fine. I think Walt Frazier did it, the Flyers, though. Pulling up in the Pontiac, the drop top with his lady. I was fly. That's how you supposed to do it. But he had 53 years to plan for it. I think Mom Donnie's speech was amazing. He killed that. That was fire. You know, again, the starters are very mild mannered. So even parade Knicks was still kind of chill, you know. So it was what it was. It's good because the crowd is going to be the energy. And that shit looked, it was dense. That shit was dense. It looked great in video and in photos. Like, wow, it looked historic. Happy I was at the crib. I seen my man pass out on top of the little overhang from the subway. I don't know how that happened. People came up there, saved them on top of that thick glass. It could have got nasty, but they saved them. He coming to life trying to kiss the lady after she done hit him with the Narcan. You know, that was an interesting moment. That was an interesting moment because there was so many people. You could have really died. That's the beauty of New York. Like, there is somebody with some Narcan. And allegedly, he said he ain't do nothing to really necessitate Narcan, but that's what woke his ass up. So who knows? I love that his, because, you know, some of these faces of the parade, they have been interviewed by just the independent social media press. So he wound up doing a little interview in his backyard somewhere. And he was, you know, they asked him about the lady that helped him. And he's like, yo, good looking out to homegirl that saved my life, you know. But I was all right. What? Motherfucker, you was almost dead. It could have been done for. It was over for you. Just give the apologies. You ain't got to. Come on, man. That was ridiculous. But anyway, that was that. But then the big story, I mean, the biggest thing that I saw was, you know, Nurse Twerksome on the traffic light, you know, who had to come down. She was chilling, watching the parade, kicking it, having a good time, blending in with everybody else that was hanging from whatever they could hang from. And it was a white woman behind or below her who I guess felt like she didn't want to be under her. Now, the thing is, you climbed up and got under her. Now you trying to referee the situation. One thing turns to another. The girl kind of climbs down, grips this white woman with one arm and tosses her like some groceries, not even groceries, like some garbage or some, yeah, garbage. I was going to say laundry, but nah, this was waste paper basket bag of garbage. Through that shit. Boom. Ragdoll to ass. Get out of here. She fell to the floor. She is embarrassed. Homegirl started twerking. Girl gets up off the floor, starts swinging on her, tried to pull her pants down, starts swinging on her butt cheeks. I never really see the shorty block fists with cheeks. She was goof, 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 a little heavy bag catching them. So she still seemed like she been having a good time, but the girl getting frustrated. She done got tossed aside. She's obviously not doing damage to these cheeks. So then she kind of go for the body blows. Homegirl finally, after doing a split and all of that, real, I won't say lazily, but deliberately takes her time, gets up off of the traffic light, and proceeds to beat this woman's ass with the most efficient ease and joy. Beep, 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 beep. Dragged her, you know what I mean? Dog walked her, as they say. You know what I mean? Had her looking nasty. And then proceeds to twerk again. Celebratory twerks. We just talked about celebratory twerks. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, yeah, that was probably the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway from the parade that caught my attention the most, because for me, it was how the footage was rolling out. The first part was I seen the girl grab her, toss her, and then I seen a little fight. She pulled her pants down, revealing like an orange thong. I'm thinking, okay, this looked like some old improv everywhere type shit. This seems like a skit. When she started swinging on, I said, well, maybe this ain't a skit. That was the end of what I saw. Then I saw the second part where she jumped down and threw homegirl an ass whipping. That was crazy. But it was just, I was just seeing all of the footage. I was watching all of the footage, like, just unspool, like, you know, all of this. It was like, what do they call that? It was like, not collected. Yeah, I guess collected footage. You know, so many different people at so many different angles. So, like, it just all starts to get aggregated. And you can, it's a composite film. Like, oh, this angle from here. This is, oh, now I can hear what they were talking about and all this other shit. And again, like I said, social media investigative journalism, they found her. She's a nurse. They found her. She was still turned up, having shots in front of the Penn Station, you know, telling her how she saw it. She is also selling merch. That's when you know you really beat somebody ass convincingly and in dynamic fashion, where you think you could actually press up some t-shirts. So, you know, listen, look out for that if you want that. Tae Keith, producer out of Memphis, Tennessee, passed away at 29. Damn. Such a talented producer, 29 years old. He did a lot in just a little bit of time. Probably one of the more prolific producers that I've heard in the last few years, especially of the new generation. I can't really say if he had a signature sound. I guess I didn't pay that close attention to his sound to where I say, oh, that is a Tae Keith beat. I mean, it was really the fact that every time I heard that drop, I would be like, all right, let me listen in, because typically he going to hit you in the head with something fire. So, yeah, rest in peace. Clive Davis died 94. Wow. He was an industry titan, man, you know, had a lot to do with Aretha Franklin's career, Alicia Keys, Whitney Houston, you know, helped fund two iconic black music labels, you know, Bad Boy Records, LaFace Records, you know, like, yeah, that Grammy party, that was the place to be during Grammy weekend, you know, it's interesting. End of an era, the end of, like, one of the Dundadas in the game, for sure. I forgot where I read this, one of these books, but somebody was like, you know, Clive used to feel himself so much so that he thought the CD was named after him. Anyway, rest in peace to that man. I was watching, right before I started recording, I was watching Blue Therapy on Netflix. It's like a couples therapy show. I guess it takes place in the UK. It's pretty good. I only watched two episodes so far. you know, I don't really do a whole lot of reality TV. It's definitely got a reality TV bent to it. It's therapy, but then they go to the people's houses too. And yeah, something pulled me in. I guess it was black people that pulled me in. It's a white woman therapist, but it's mainly black couples, UK couples. And it's interesting. I like to see couples try to hash out beef. Watching couples therapy shit, it's like, to me, this shit is like watching Family Feud, but instead of rooting for like the black family, I'm rooting for the fellas. It's like gender-based Family Feud. I'm like, all right, dude, hold it down in there. Don't lose. You know, because that's the thing. If you ever been in couples therapy, sometimes it could feel like you're fighting, but you got a referee who's going to award points at the end of each match, each session. Like, ah, Damien, I think you might have taken home the win. Thank you. I thought so. You know what I mean? But it's just good. It's all, again, watching couples, because being in a relationship is hard work, you know, for however long you in that joint. It's hard work. It's not all, you know, sunshine and roses. Sometimes it's a little bit of rain and the fucking thunder, you know. But if you really in it and you're trying to make it happen, you work for it. And then sometimes it don't even work out. But it's interesting just to see, like, what kind of arguments are universal, what kind of tensions are universal, how people react, you know, what is it to be vulnerable, how people cannot understand what's being said by the other, you know, and it's good to have that intermediary. Like, did you hear what this person said? But did you hear what they said? Did you understand what they said? You know, it's interesting. You see people get defensive. It's entertaining to me. I'm not going to lie, because I guess I'm not in it in that moment. But yeah, like, I could relate to a lot of it. I could see some of the cats. I'm like, oh yeah, I've been there. I've had that stance. You know what I mean? I still might have that stance. Or damn, I wouldn't have said it like that. You know, I probably would have couched it a little differently. Or, oh yeah, this cat needs to communicate more. It's interesting to watch. I only watched 2 episodes so far. It's very upscale. I guess that's the TV portion of it. Like, some of these couples get dressed. They get dipped to go to therapy. They get fly. I guess it's for the first episode, the first couple, they pulled up in a Benz. I was like, oh, shit. But I think that's just part of the show. Because later on, I see everybody, they pull up in a Benz. I guess that makes the therapy a little bit more healing. You know, makes it easy for you to unpack in the Benz. It's chill. It's from, you know, it's over there in England, so you got the accents. You know, it's interesting. I don't know how many more episodes I'm going to watch, but I was watching it earlier today, you know, chilling out. It was pretty good. I wasn't too mad at it. I think I'm caught up on The Chi. I think so. It's all right. You know, it's doing what The Chi does. It's okay. I think now my favorite characters on there might be Bakari and Lene. I think those are my two favorite characters, because I think they kind of took what Emmett, Tiffany, and Keisha had going on. They got the new energy. I just like them. I think those my favorite new characters on the show. All right, Raising Kanan, let's get to it. Season 5, Episode 2, Many Men. This was a decent episode. I enjoyed it. Overall, it was good. You know, it felt like a bit of a setup episode. There wasn't a whole lot of action going on in the episode, but it was cool. There were some things that happened that were pretty interesting. You know, I'm gonna run through my notes on it. But overall, I enjoyed the episode. I mean, it's my thing. I'm fucking with Raising Kanan, so it's not that crazy. But so boom, the episode starts. It feels like it's two mirroring scenes. One with Unique pulling up on Pernessa upstate or in the cut in the little boonies,
tucked away, her and Jerome, his son, you know, while things are still hot with Unique right now. So they show him going up there and she's showing him, you know, this new refuge that she's created and how things are kind of helping settle Jerome. He wasn't able to, you know, he was living in fear, and then that whole being kidnapped thing, that really that traumatized the kid. You know what I'm saying? And she's basically like, yo, when you coming out here? When you going, you know? Because he's like, listen, it shouldn't be too long. I'm going to have things back in order. I could bring you back to the city. She's like, yo, we not coming back to the city. This is crazy. She's like, we need you. And he like, listen, that's all I know. I'm never leaving. You know what I mean? This is all I, what was the line that he said? All I got, all I am. You know, he said that to Pernessa. I'll tell you something. They're giving Pernessa a lot. Well, they were. They was giving Pernessa a lot more to work with this season, I think, more than any other season, to get her, you know, get some cool scenes off. But anyway, he's stubborn. He's like, listen, I'm going to live and I'm going to die in Southside Jamaica, Queens. She's like, but you could be a senator. You could be a judge. She see all of this potential in him. And all he sees is the block. So that's a bit of an impasse. At the same time, top of the episode, you see Phil Russo and his wife beefing because she just like, why are you running off? Why, you know, I can't, you got me locked up in the crib. I can't go nowhere. He's like, well, go outside. You know what I mean? It's just a little less on my plate. Go ahead. You know, I forget what he said. Get the fuck out of here. You know, he got into his real Italian bag. His shit was funny. And then she was upset, and he's like, oh, babe, I misspoke. I ain't mean that, you know. And he consoles her. You know what I'm saying? Babe, it's about you. We're going to do this, that, and the other thing. Just give me a little bit of time. I'm settling things. You know what I mean? I'll be back. And, you know, so that's it's interesting that they both mirrored you kind of just this whole, I guess, reconciling this with their partner, you know? But they both have different ends. So that's how it all starts out. You see them going on. Carmine, Russo's, I guess his driver, his right-hand man or whatever, or at least his driver comes to pick him up. They want to go take him to a meet. They in the car. Carmine's like, yo, I'm glad you're coming out. You know, the people want to see your face. You know what I mean? They feel like they haven't seen you in a while. And you know that the boys are getting restless. And he's like, man, fuck that. We'll be good. We're good. Whatever, whatever. Carmine's like, yo, can we stop at the drive-thru? I just want to get, you know, I want to get me something to eat and a coffee. I've been staked out in front of your crib for 24 hours. I haven't been able to get any sleep. Russo was like, this guy wants a fucking McMuffin. Your man wants a fucking McMuffin. All right, come on. Yeah, let's go. We'll fuck it. Let's go. I already knew something was wrong. He takes him to the damn drive-thru. Sure enough, set up. Cats pull up. Carmine's like, yo, you want anything? He's like, nah, I don't eat that shit. Carmine cracks the door and jets up out of there. Russo already know what it is. They come light his ass up with the machine guns. It was three soldiers with the machine guns. Tore his ass up. Perforated him. Terrible. But he's dead. And we see Rock go pay Stefano a visit in the hospital. And I guess, you know, just to kind of talk about moving forward, next steps. it's all corporate, even with this drug dealer. So what are our next steps? What are we looking at? You know what I mean? To piggyback on that, I think we should use blue tops. Anyway, so they having a conversation. Stefano, after been, you know, after get stabbed up, he's starting to have cold feet. He's starting to kind of want to pull back from all of this. He basically don't want to be messing with these moolies. You know, he's like, Rock, ever since I started working with you, you know, they done turned my pancreas into a pincushion. I wasn't getting all this type of heat when it was just me and the Italians. So listen, I don't want to mess with you no more. I don't want you dealing in Queens no more. Queens is shut down. Don't try to do it behind my back because I'll put some hitters out there to be a war. You know, but listen, we shutting it down. She's tight, but she, you know, she takes it on the chin. I bet, you know, DeStefano, you're not the only person out here with, you know, that matters with work. He's like, all right,
Okay, but don't do no shit in Queens, because it'll be a problem. So she leaves. Police run up in Kanan's spot while him and his people leave. I guess they having like a little team meeting. You know what I'm saying? They kind of getting frustrated because things aren't working. Police run up in there, you know. They take Kanan in. While they take Kanan in, Kanan thinking that Rock set this whole thing up. He's like, what, you trying to kill me? You trying to kill me like you killed Famous? They're like, who? What the fuck is you talking about? You know Famous as his real name. You know Famous, man. You know my mom's paid you to kill him. They like, dog, we don't know who the fuck Famous is. We don't know what you're talking about. At this point, it kind of hits Kanan. Oh, shit, maybe Rock didn't have Famous killed. Now, I don't know if that's going to change anything, but I think at this point now, maybe he got that out of his head. Because there was a moment when he's looking at the cops to see if they lying, and it felt like it kind of landed like, nah, she was telling the truth. Marvin is still on the hunt for Unique. He, you know, driving around, pulling up on snitches on the corner. These cats, they just rush. They rush the car like the Water Boys in Atlanta. He's like, yo, y'all know where Unique at? You know, they giving a little vague information. One dude is like, nah, I think he here. He's over here. So he giving, you know, Marvin feeding the birds, basically giving them some money. Listen, if you got more information, anything that leads me to Unique, I got more where that came from. So they like, I bet. He drive off. Rock has a quick meeting with Marvin, I guess at the warehouse. She's sitting on a whole lot of work. They haven't been able to move it because things have gotten kind of hot. And then she's trying to, you know, she's trying to get it cracking again. Marvin's still a little tight, like, yo, you know, like, you still don't seem to be mourning Lou. He's like, listen, I got to get this money. Lou would want us to get this money. I love when motherfuckers use the dead. Immediate, too. Immediate. He ain't even been dead for 2 weeks. They start using the dead as somebody to bolster their argument. Lou would want us to do this. So, yeah. So she's like, listen, Stefano don't want us up in Queens no more. I'm thinking about going to Manhattan. He like, what? He's like, yeah, I think I got an end here. We could start moving shit. We could actually start moving shit out of Lou's old bar. Marvin again, like, I'm sure Lou wouldn't feel that. He like, listen, I think Lou would love us to do this. This is what Lou would want. Oh, so this is the part where Unique is leaving the house visit, the visit from Pernessa. And Jerome is kind of playing him, you know. He's not really, you know, he's kind of standoffish, you know, and it's hurting Unique. We talked about this last week. It's been hurting him. So Unique's about to leave. Jerome ain't even really come see him. And then you just see Jerome dart out the door, run up to him, give him a hug, you know, like a little kid, give him a hug. And Unique was like, yo, little man, you don't know how bad I needed that hug. He did. It was a nice moment, but it's just, I don't know. I find shit like that funny sometimes. But, you know, he needed that. He needed that. That kind of helps later on, I think. Kind of puts things in perspective, I believe. I think Unique is kind of seeing the power of family, you know, a power of a partner, a power of support, all of that over, you know, the dead end that is the streets, you know what I mean? And rep, and what's that really going to get you? Breeze's man Taz is salty, you know, and that's all. Always seems to be like that, the cat that's right there but still steps away. Somebody else coming in, taking his so-called spot, you know? So he fell away. He started getting a little messy. He telling Unique about a meeting that he shouldn't have told Unique about. Breeze figures it out, you know? I think at some point Breeze is going to kill him. Breeze has been interesting. Like, his scene so far, they've been kind of... The lines have been kind of... Kind of weak. Actually, the Breeze thing, I come through smooth and I leave and I cool shit. You know, it was all right, but it was just, it don't feel as naturalistic as everybody else. Maybe it's just because he hasn't fully settled in the cast, but when I see Shalik? Yeah, when I see homie doing Breeze, it just feels like acting. Like, it takes me out of it a little bit so far still. Rock has an idea how she could move to work in Manhattan. She's looking to go through escorts, you know. So then she goes to a strip club. For a hot second, I thought that was Lou's old bar. And I'm like, yo, when did Lou's bar turn into a strip club? But this is a whole different thing. She pulls one of the strippers. She has a conversation with one of the strippers. Kind of get put on in the stripper network. She knows she wants to meet this one woman. Or maybe the stripper tells her, yo, there's this woman that you should meet. Her name is Flossie Siegel. Flossie Siegel is like the madam, the Heidi Fleiss, I guess, of the at least the Manhattan escort syndicate. Because this woman, she's an out-of-borough stripper. She don't really get busy, you know, in Manhattan like that. She don't go to the city or whatever. So she's like, you should talk to Flossie Siegel, but be careful because Flossie's dangerous. Rock is like, I'm dangerous too. You know, so there's that type of moment. They got Rock. She's meeting with Pino Bernardi, you know, who's played by Joe Pantoliano. You know, you've seen him in a bunch of shit. That's Ralphie from Sopranos. That's Captain Howard from Bad Boys. You know, many, many roles. You've seen him, but he's like the new plug. And Rock sits down with him. And, you know, Rock always aces the new plug interview. You know what I'm saying? Even if there is a little bit of pushback, they're going to give her a shot. You know what I'm saying? And she's going to be like, it's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. I can't do a Rock, but, you know, her shit be real clipped. Anyway, so then we see a moment where you realize Breeze cannot be trusted, because when Unique pull up on Breeze talking about, yo, how come I wasn't at this meeting? There was a meeting with Snaps and Pop, Stefano, Breeze, and Kanan. And basically, Stefano was saying, listen, I don't want no parts in none of this shit no more. I still want a taste. I still want a kickback. But I'm not really playing y'all too close. Y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. And if any of y'all go kill yourselves, I'm going to throw in with whoever wins. I'm just letting you know up front, I don't fuck with too much of this shit, but I will eat off of it. Are we clear? They're like, yeah, whatever. Unique should have been at that meeting. For whatever reason, they didn't invite Unique to the meeting. You know, Unique and DeStefano got a little bit of a problem. They don't really fuck with each other. So Taz, you know, Salty Taz, wound up telling Unique about the meeting, kind of brought it up. You know what I mean? So when Unique pulled up on Breeze immediately realized who would have told him. It was Taz. You know what I'm saying? This nigga, I bet. So Unique's tight. He like, yo, why you ain't call me? Why wasn't I at the meeting? He's like, you ain't need to be at that meeting, this, that, and the other thing. He said, I got a problem with DeStefano. He's like, DeStefano ain't even thinking about you. Meanwhile, in the meeting, DeStefano said, I do not fuck with that dude. You know what I'm saying? So Breeze telling him whatever he want to hear. You could tell him off. You could tell he lie, because he said some shit to him in the same sentence. He says, you ain't that nigga no more, but I got you. Like, come on now. If he ain't that nigga no more, why you still got him? So you trying to move him out the way. He realized that Unique is not stupid. That's one thing he ain't. He ain't stupid, and he's up front. I think he's up front with everybody. He says what he needs to say to everybody face to face. And let it be what it's going to be. And he's going to pull up with some custom leather on, for better or worse. Sometimes them fits look crazy, but they're one of one. We see Lou bringing in boxes of work to the, not Lou, pardon. We see Marvin pulling up with boxes of work in Lou's bar. Shirley, a.k.a. Bonnie Raitt, she peeped game. She asked Marvin, what's in the boxes? He like, some bullshit. She like, yeah, I know about bullshit. You know, like, she's like one of them seasoned white women that's been out there. Seasoned, you know what I mean? That's been in the world, been amongst the people. She knows she can catch that bullshit from a mile away, you know? So she ain't feeling it. Her and Marvin have a chat at the bar. She, you know, she says how she feels about it. And, you know, Marvin understands it. Marvin doesn't really, he's not really comfortable either. His kind of, his back is against the wall. Rock is pushing him to do it. And he said, listen, we're gonna buy you out. And we're gonna buy you out for a sizable amount. You know, unfortunately, I know this is probably not what you want to do. I know you don't really want to step away, but we need to utilize this space. and we don't want to bring you in. We don't want to involve you. So the best way is to, you know, buy you out. So I guess that's going to happen at some point. We'll see if they follow up on that, or maybe that was just a conversation. Meaning that we might not see that on, we might not see Shirley again. Okay, so there's one point where Unique pulls up on Kanan after Kanan relocates to his new spot where they're going to be hustling at. He relocates. Unique pulls up on him. He's like, yo, don't trust Snaps Pop or Breeze or DeStefano, as he calls him, Linguini. Don't trust any of them. They ain't shit. We need to work together. I'm trying to tell you, you don't need them. They going to use you, all of this shit. Kanan ain't really try to hear that because he's stubborn and he he's still young in the game. And who can you trust out there, right? So anyway, there's a moment where he says, you know, it's interesting that you haven't come for me, you know, because the streets are saying that I put your uncle down. You know what I mean? And you must not believe that because you haven't done anything, you know? And then he's like, he said, oh, I don't care. Some shit like that. And then Unique was like, well, listen, if somebody killed somebody of mine, they wouldn't be able to go to sleep without me putting them down. You know what I mean? He's like, you know what? But maybe it was Rock that killed him. Maybe it was Marvin that killed him. Maybe it was you that killed him. And he said that shit dead to his face, which I appreciated, you know? And Kanan kind of held a bit of a poker face, but I think that shit shook him a little bit. So, like, later on, when Breeze comes up to him with the plan to run up in his crib and kill Unique, you know, Kanan's all with it because this is somebody that could arouse suspicion. Need to clean that up. The cops pull Aisha's family into the interrogation room. Aisha, the father, the moms. Aisha's father is kind of, you know, he kind of slick with the cops. You know what I mean? Kind of playing them a little bit. Not playing them, but like, you know, just he's not really folding to him. He's not trusting of him. Then they pull out some photos of Lou dead. To be honest with you, they didn't look like the most gruesome photos. But they pulled out some photos of Lou dead, and they say, listen, your daughter's in danger. She's hanging out with people that are known murderers and this, that, and the other thing. So then Aisha's parents, they kind of put the kibosh on Aisha and Jukebox. Aisha lies to her parents just to go see Jukebox one last time to kind of tell her what the deal is. Jukebox is like, yo, what did you tell the cops? So I ain't tell the cops nothing. You sure? So Jukebox barely trusts Aisha. It looked like for a hot second, I thought she was going to hurt her. But she ultimately broke it off. I feel like Jukebox has been trying to break up with Aisha for at least, I don't know, since last season. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of redundant after a while. She been told you she ain't really into all that. Her heart is for the streets. You know what I'm saying? Like, you cool, but you somebody to worry about. Again, a lot of setup this episode. So that was going on. Rock gets to meet with Flossie Siegel. They have a moment. Flossie is, you know, she's real distinguished. They sitting in her, I guess, her office or her den. They got like a little living. There's a fireplace there. She's bossed up. Rock is trying to be a little coy about her business dealings. Flossie's putting everything on the table. Listen, you don't have to, you know what I mean? You don't have to deflect. You don't have to talk around it. I know you sell drugs. It's fine. You know, Pino told me. Let's figure this out. But also what happens is Flossie's like, listen, I typically don't do business with anybody, but the thing that made me take this meeting with you, make me even consider you as a partner, is the fact that you're a woman. And it's nothing but dudes that come up, and if I do give them a shot, it's like a week later, they trying to take over the whole shit, and then I might have to put a bullet in their head. So, you know, on some woman-to-woman type of thing, I think we could work together, you know, she's the Gloria Steinem of the underworld, you know? And I'm curious if all that female empowerment, does she believe it or is it just game? Is it genuine or is it something that she's using as an angle? It could be a little bit of both. But anyway, she was like, just like Pino, she's like, I know Pino's taking a good amount. You know, I'm going to need some money too. Because this shit, you talking about drugs, you know, prostitution, the stakes is not as high. So if I'm going to really put myself out there like that, I got to eat good. You know, Rock is like, you know, don't worry about it. Ain't nobody got to worry about how you eat. I'll take care of you. I can't do a Rock. I wish I could. But anyway, yeah, so they look like they might be working together pretty soon. That's what's going on with that. Again, Marvin is still on the hunt for Unique. He pulls up on the snitch corner again. This time they say, yo, man, you know, Unique be out there in Jersey with Akbar roly-poly ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? So they go. So Marvin gets them some more money, some more bird seed. Pulls up in Jersey on Akbar. Akbar's at the bar, and he literally, before Marvin's pulling up, he's like, listen, I'd rather stay out here and in Jersey because them New York motherfuckers, they be wilding. And, you know, I don't want to wind up in the dirt reaching for some shit that really wasn't mine. Basically, I don't really want to get caught up in that shit, too hectic, right? Seconds later, Marvin comes out with the gun drawn. He's like, listen, if you tell me where Unique is, I'll let you finish your drink. You know what I mean? Before I kill you. So, you know, my man Akbar, a.k.a. Rock Wilder, he can't believe that this dude got the audacity to come to his haunt, pull a pistol on him, and then, like, try to intimidate him. And so he recamped the whole thing. Yo, you hear your man talking all of this? He go to reach for his gun. Marvin hit him with the boom, boom, shoots everybody. I don't know at what point did Marvin turn into John Wick, but Marvin is nice now. Went from one gun to two guns. Boom, 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 boom. He shot about four motherfuckers. Then the dude comes from up under the bar with the shotty. He catch him. When he cocked back the shotty, boom, boom, boom. You know, and then, you know, Marvin has always been good for the last word, you know what I mean? Right before he kills the guy, he says, guess you ain't gonna finish that drink after all. You know, the Marvin shit, which I enjoy. It's fun. All right, so all of this leads to, I guess, dying words. He got out of Akbar. Where is Unique? He must have said, yo, he be upstate. You could go here. I don't know why Akbar gave him that information. He knew he was getting killed anyway. But somehow Marvin gets the information. At the same time, Unique and Kanan are setting to run up in a Unique spot in Queens. Breeze paid the super off, got the key to the apartment. That shit, I hate that type of silly shit. So anyway, so... And Breeze asks Kanan, he says, yo, I know Unique used to mess with your moms. You going to be good? Kanan cocks the shit like, yo, we good, you know? Because, again, Unique is still like he's a loose string. He could arouse suspicion with the whole loose shit, which could be a problem with Kanan and Marvin and Kanan and Jukebox. Anyway, so they go up there and they going through his apartment. And at the other side of town or the other side of things, you see Marvin go to his getaway, and he's crawling through the house. And I think this was really done. This built up a lot of tension because you didn't know where Unique was going to be, you know? And it really, particularly with Marvin, because Breeze and Kanan, at least it's two versus one, you know? But Marvin up there dolo. So there's one moment where I guess Marvin just figures, yo, he's not here. He puts the gun back in his waistband. For a second, I thought Unique was going to come out and kill him. But that didn't happen. They cut to Unique jetting off in the Volvo with Pernessa and Jerome. Jerome in the back seat. Pernessa like, yo, we done left all our shit there at the house. He's like, we're going to get new shit. It ain't even nothing. We're going to get something new. And then they drive into wherever. They're on the bridge, wherever the fuck they're going. I'm guessing Atlanta. But who knows? I don't want to profile. I don't want to assume either. But they're going off to start a new life. And then the 50 narration comes in. It's like, you know, basically most cats never leave the game. You know what I'm saying? You just play the winner. You play till you lose, right? He says, never seen nobody pick up their ball and lead the game. He said, this is the first time we ever seen it. And he actually committed to it. So, you know, respect. So I guess that's the end of Unique. I guess Unique ain't coming back. I mean, we already seen Unique go through a bad one. We already seen him almost die and then come back. But this, I guess this is the end of Unique. And that was a good arc. Like, you know, Joey Badass really did his thing as Unique. Really good character. So now we're going to see where things go from here on, you know. What y'all think? How y'all feeling about the series this season? What y'all think about it? Think it's been good so far? I know it's only 2 episodes in. Y'all got any predictions? Anything you like, nah, I ain't feeling that. You know what I mean? Any of that. Tell me in the comments. Let's talk about it. Listen, if you're going to be in New York City, what is it, this weekend, Brooklyn. If you're going to be in Brooklyn this weekend on the 27th, they got the Summer Down South party. Shout out to Nadine, conversationalist. She's throwing a party with DJ Wally Sparks, Down South Records in New York. You know what I mean? You know, that's our cousins. You know what I'm saying? So if you ever went and spent the summer down south, you went to school down south, any of that, that's the premise of the whole joint. And it's like the real deal shit. It ain't just the radio, you know, the surface level Down South Records. They getting into it. So it should be a vibe. Also, September 20th, Arlington, Virginia, Arlington Draft House. I'm headlining there. It's going to be one of them. I'm ready. I'm trying to have a good time. I'm trying to sell that shit out. So if you are in that area, please buy tickets now. It is on sale. DamianLemon.com, ArlingtonDraftHouse.com. Check that out. I would love to see you. And as more dates or more road dates come about, I will be talking about them on the mic, you know. But, yeah, that's it. I appreciate y'all listening. This was a quick one, but I appreciate y'all listening. Always a pleasure, you know. Jump in the comments. Kick off the conversation, man. Let's talk. And until next week, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. And even an enemy, begin the conversation. Hello.